I wonder if you know much about Buddhism. My uncle was actually a Buddhist, and growing up, I grew up between Bangkok and Australia, and I've become pretty familiar with the religion. And while I don't personally practice Buddhism, there is a growing following here in the Great Southern, so much so that it has prompted monk Venerable Mudu to travel to Albany this week to submit a development application for a monastery right here in Albany. This monastery will be the first of its kind anywhere in the world and would allow followers to start ordination training. Some have been waiting for 5 years to access this. Joining us in the studio is Monk Venerable Mudu and Venerable Jahaiko. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Lily, and good morning, Albany.
Good morning.
And how big is the Buddhist following in the Great Southern?
Well, I've been teaching here for 18 months. I come down every 3 months. And that was initially through the invitation of the Thai community here. So I came down. My boss, Ajahn Brahm, he's considered quite the rock star of Buddhism in the West.
I love it.
he's incredible. Yeah, he's very well known to Buddhists all around the world and his Western teachings. He said, okay, you can go down to do this restaurant blessing at the Thai restaurant here in Albany, and then while you're down there, please teach at one of the prisons and do a public talk. Well, 12 to 18 months later, I'm now teaching at the two prisons. I'm doing 4 public talks. And at the public talks, we get between 20 and 40 people. And the public talks is also a guided meditation as well. So it's a very kind of easy listening. And I'm hoping to get across to the people of Albany how they can meditate and reduce stress in their lives and find a little bit of peace.
Okay, and you did, it is my understanding, you met with the City of Albany yesterday. How did that go?
So I met with the City of Albany on my last visit, so I haven't seen them this visit yet. Yesterday I met with some of the planning consultants, so we're using local people in Albany to do the development of the monastery. But the meeting I had with the council, which was about 6 months ago, was just an introduction to say hello. They'd known I'd been teaching here for 12 months, and I just wanted to get a feeling from them what they thought about how they would see a Buddhist monastery fitting into the Albany community. And they pretty much welcomed it with open arms and said, please go ahead and submit a development application. If that all goes fine, then you're free to kind of, look at building a monastery.
And how viable is this project? When can we expect to potentially see a monastery?
So once this development application is submitted and approved, I would say that we'd be looking at around about 12 months' time we would be able to start building.
And you want it to be a training ground for future monks?
Well, with Buddhist monastics, and it's new to Australia because your background being Thai, it's really big in Thailand, but it's quite new in Australia. So when we talk about being the monastery I come from in Serpentine, being the biggest Western monastery, probably in the Southern Hemisphere, if not the world, we're looking at 30 monks. That doesn't sound like much, but for Western monks altogether, in one place at one time, that's a lot. And we're overflowing up there. So there's not enough room. That's why we're looking at building something small down here. And every monk is training right up until they die, basically. Yeah. It's a training all the way. But the preliminary training, which Venerable Jaiko has just commenced. Last time he brought me here 12 months ago, he was dressed in white and he was my attendant. Now he's a monk doing the training.
And that does lead me very well to my next question. I would like to talk to you, Venerable Jaiko, about what's involved in training. So can you tell me, you just said you're in sort of the preliminary stages, mm-hmm. and often when our cultural knowledge of monks is, we understand you have the shaved head mm-hmm. and you wear the robes, but mm-hmm. can you tell us a bit about what's actually involved in transforming yourself and becoming a monk?
Maybe more time to really train yourself at meditation and commit yourself in meditation, and then understand the Buddhist teaching, basically. That's the commitment. And then the end goal, you may ask, the end goal is usually all the Buddhists will know is like Nibbana, which is enlightened. That's the end goal. But how to work through there. It's like through all this training. It's like the A4 path, definitely, which is, I think, it's too technical. I feel that it's, we shouldn't mention it here.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know, yeah, sort of why did you become a monk? What were you doing before then?
Before then, I'm basically I work at Intel as a programmer. It's quite stressful. And I still remember why it triggered all this knowledge is like of Buddhism is I have a panic attack after 2 years of working.
Yeah, right.
And then it's like middle of the night, just feeling, breathing really hard and feeling like I fainted. All my family members don't know what happened to me. Just sent me to a hospital. And on the hospital bed, basically, I just remember all this teaching. These two will pass. And then good, bad, who knows? It's basically from Ajahn Brahm, our big boss, which teach me. And I attended the 9 days retreat really long time ago, maybe 8 years before I work. So that's really inspired me. All this teaching just flash up on the background when I'm really, really in a struggling place.
So it's sort of become like a guiding
So that's why it really inspired me how this Buddhist teaching works. It's like I thought that I forget it, but it just really, really helped me when I'm in the really deep down pit.
If you're just tuning in, you're on ABC Great Southern with Lily Hoffman, and joining us in the studio this morning is Monk Venerable Mudu and Venerable Jahaiko. Venerable Mudu, I would love to chat to you about your journey to Buddhism as well. We did just hear from Venerable Michael about his journey. Before you became a monk, you were a volunteer surf lifesaver. You worked in the mining and grain handling industry. Yeah. How did you come to find Buddhism, and how did you sort of leave behind everything you knew?
Well, I haven't left behind everything I knew. I'm still the design monk at the monastery with all the engineering design drawings. So the preparations of the plans for this proposed monastery here in Albany, I'm drawing all those up. But like most people, you kind of you go through life, you develop all this stress from things like going to year 12, doing your exams, and you got to go to uni and you got to pass that. Then you get married and then you've got to get a house and you've got to get the mortgage. Then you've got kids, then they become teenagers. And
I believe it's commonly referred to as the rat race.
Something like that. But I had a path that it's not uncommon to a lot of people. I had the separation from my wife. And then we spent 12 long years fighting in the family law court over the child, one hand each pulling this child to pieces. It was terrible for me. It was terrible for the child. Georgia, hello, my daughter. She's 20 years old now. She's in Perth. And after like 12 years of the family law court, I just about went mad. You know, I still was doing my job as a designer, and still a volunteer surf lifesaver, so I still could function in society. But all this, the stress from this family law court, I couldn't handle it anymore. At that stage, my daughter decided to go and live with her mum, and then I had the opportunity, and it was a long way away because we just spent 12 years fighting it out. So she wanted to go as far away from me as possible, and I don't blame her for that. So she was up in Kununurra, and so I lost that touch with my daughter, and I had the opportunity to practice meditation at the monastery. So I took up the training.
You turned to Buddhism.
Yeah, and I knew that a lot of the stress from all of the things in my life, including going through family law court, was something that the Buddhist teachings it was a walk in the park. For once you get these Buddhist teachings, not even the Buddhist teachings, just the meditation. Mm-hmm. If you can get the meditation, you can get a lot of relief from these stresses in life. That's why I want to come to Albany to share the meditation teachings mainly. There's also the Buddhist teachings for people that want to become monks. But what I've been doing here in Albany is teaching meditation and the simple techniques that Ajahn Brahm has taught everyone, which is kind of, in a nutshell, kind of make peace, be kind and be gentle with every moment, and using those three ideas, you can have a nice, easy life.
That's a great place to wrap up, I think, there. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio, Venerable Mudu and Venerable Jahaiko. Thank you for taking the time to come in.
Thank you for having us on. Thank you, Albany.